From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 12th day of March 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And a bit later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, China's central bank says it wants the value of the yuan to float with the marketplace. Analysts in Beijing say some mills in China are set to make more corn purchases from the United States. And India has rolled back its week-old ban on cotton exports. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in the half hour. And then I'll tell you how Illinois ag economist Darrell Good sets about trying to anticipate what the stocks reports will show. The second quarter report, of course, is due out March 30th from USDA. Hey, and don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Let's check the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on this Monday afternoon. From the soft red winter wheat pit, the nearby contract in the March at $6.52¾, up 14 cents for the day. May at $6.51¼, 8¼ higher. And July wheat at $6.59¼. The harvest month up 5¾. The hard red in Kansas City settled at $7.05¼, up 12¾. March corn for the day, $8, rather $6.71½. I just made a lot of people really happy for a moment. 17½ cents higher still. A big gain in the corn pit. May future, $6.59½, up 14½. And July at $6.54, a dime higher. September future, $6.03, up 7 cents. December contract in the corn pit. That's your harvest month at $5.68½. A gain of 6 cents for the day in the March futures of next year. $5.78½, up 6 on the afternoon. March soybeans, $13.30½, a penny and a quarter lower. May futures, $13.34½, down 3¼. July contract, $13.41¼, 3½ lower. And the August soybeans at $13.33, down 4½ cents. September, $13.14¾, down 4. November beans, $12.99½. The settlement price there, down 5¾ for the afternoon. Bean meal at $3.58.40, 20 cents lower. Bean oil at $53.63, that's down 32 cents on the day. June live cattle futures at $123.90, 30 higher for the day. April feeders at $156.35, up 50. This is the Closing Market Report. From the outside markets on the afternoon, nearby contract in the April crude oil at $106.39 a barrel, a dollar and a penny lower for the day. Ethanol at $2.29¼, that's up 2¼ cents. Natural gas at $2.26¼, 5¼ cents lower. Heating oil for the afternoon at $3.24¼, that's a penny and 9 cents lower. And the gold futures on the day, a settlement price down $11.70 at $1,699.20 a troy ounce. The dollar at 79.89, down 0.15. The CRB index, that's the Commodity Research Bureau, at 315.99, down 1.62 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. For the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, mostly sunny skies, a high of 73 degrees. It'll be breezy with a south-southwest wind at about 23 miles an hour. That will gust all the way to 33. And then tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 48. West-southwest winds at 14 to 17. They'll decrease to 5 to 8. Winds could gust still as high as 24. And then on Tuesday, sunny skies, a high of 73 degrees. A west-northwest wind at about 5 miles an hour. It'll calm down for the day. And Tuesday night, mostly clear, a low of 53 degrees. Calm winds out of the south, southeast at 5 to 8. And Wednesday, mostly sunny, a high of 78. South winds between 8 and 15. Wednesday night, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, and a low of 58. Thursday of this week, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a high of 74. Friday, chance of showers and thunderstorms continues. It'll be partly sunny then after that with a high of 73 degrees. Friday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the low 57. Saturday, showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a high of 73. Saturday night, cloudy, it's 56. And on Sunday, partly sunny skies at a high of 74 degrees.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This is the closing market report. It is a Monday afternoon. On the phone line with us, Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Yeah, we had a big day in Chicago, and I guess China was the primary player. Tell me about it, please.
Well, there's still ideas or talk around that there's some Chinese corn business taking place. We've not, I've not seen confirmation of it yet, and I don't have a good number on the quantity that might be taking place. A little bit more fuel for the fire. Argentina suspending grain or corn exports until April to get a handle on where they are with their corn inventory. So it sort of puts the urgency in the corn complex to put a little bit more premium in the marketplace, as ideas are that world suppliers or shoppers are in there trying to gather some inventory from some available supplies around the world. And right now it looks like here the U.S. is about the only place to buy corn for needs for sale on a large scale. So that generates some fundamental support. Technically, we continue to crank the momentum indicators up, crossing over some more moving averages. Funds were huge buyers. They bought 13,000 corn and about 3,000 wheat on the day. They were sellers of beans for the most part, but the buying the corn, selling the beans, buying the wheat, selling the beans was right in there. More and more, I can't say more and more analysts, but more talk of analysts saying that we're virtually at pipeline supplies or below pipeline supplies on corn, and that this old crop's going to remain relatively tight as we move forward here, even confirmed with some higher Gulf basis levels too. So it was quite an exciting day here to see corn sort of push at the upper end of the trading range that we've been here since clear back last October, Todd.
So corn moved into the upper end of the trading range, specifically in the old crop, which a few producers will still have around. In new crop, would you say that the gains there were simply sympathetic and nothing more than that?
Pretty much so. I think it's bull spread. The bull spread's going to remain popular here. It's a typical, classical bull spread situation where we have tight oil supplies and concerns or fears that or ideas that we will have a little bit more ample supplies this fall here with potentially more acres and hopefully some good growing weather. Also, too, if we move higher here, it will slow demand. We could see competition move into that feed wheat or other competitors, and so therefore there's not the urgency to be a buyer of the new crop December. Ideas are that July D's corn spread can find fairly good support here at this 80-cent level and move on out to this $1.25, $1.30 area, Todd.
Well, there are a couple of other things that are happening in the outside markets that maybe you could address just a bit. In China, let's start with that to begin with. They've some of the central bankers, and we'll hear more about this from Dave Dickey a bit later, have discussed the idea of letting the yuan or their currency float a bit more. Is that good for U.S. exports to that country?
Well, it's one of the situations that will be a little bit more vulnerable to the world economic world situation. They've been basically locked in at a ratio to the U.S. dollar. It's one of these situations where it can be effective down the road here, because whenever you're in a situation where you're a exporter and you're selling products overseas, you don't want your currency to be overvalued. You always want to keep it at below other levels so you can continue to be competitive on the world market. But a stronger currency on the export side is kind of devastating. And here we've seen our dollar weaken quite a bit, so it's putting us at a little bit advantage here to world buyers. Of course, South America always seems to be a discount to our currency here, and they always will be a competitor to us.
Is there anything that producers should know about crop insurance at this point, or that they're asking you about? I know that they'll have to make that decision by the 15th, which isn't too terribly far away at this point.
The main thing is work with a guy who's able to sit down with you and explain it and walk you through the steps here. And also, too, from the marketing point of view, I know some guys are trying to sell it as a put option or a floor under you. You still need to market the grain. So there's a couple steps involved in it. But the best advice right now on the crop insurance, make sure you're working with somebody that can walk you through the process, somebody you're comfortable with.
Turn your attention to the soy complex. While beans, corn rather, gained 17 cents today, soybeans didn't manage to budge. They were down a penny and a quarter. Does that concern you?
Not a whole lot right at the moment here. The corn was the March corn, Wednesday's last trading day. Zero deliveries. Nobody really wants, well, I can't say nobody, but there's not any incentive to give up ownership of corn, so everyone's kind of a tie holder there. As far as the beans go, we've seen these beans virtually be like a rocket here ever since middle of December here. They've been straight up. They've had a couple of corrections there, but they've just been climbing the wall of worry, and they're due to consolidate or correct again here quickly. We've not seen any additional Asian sales announced here, so with the bean market being a little overbought here, they're vulnerable to correct 10 to 20 cents.
And finally, you and Pete will be pretty busy. Dave and I have you scheduled for a couple of things. You're tonight, I think, right here in Champaign County, right? At 7 o'clock at the County Farm Bureau building.
Correct. I'm on the panel, and Pete's going to be along with us here, so we always enjoy doing these Outlook meetings. You seem to always have some good crowds, and of course you guys come up with some fairly good questions for us to answer at these meetings too.
Hey, thank you so much. We appreciate you being with us today.
All right, Todd, thank you much.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon. You can always listen to him again if you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find everything that we produce on a daily basis, from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between. And our Commodity Week program, too. It's our weekend program. At the website, willag.org. If you have a smartphone, try this one out, m.willag.org. No www in front of that. And you can get most of the same stuff right there. So any way you want to, and don't have a smartphone, don't have access to the internet, missed us on the radio, we always have a way to get hold of us at 10:15 and 3:15 daily. We put voicemail up that you can just listen to. Call this number, 217-333-3434. We call that one our mobile analyst portal. It's 217-333-3434. Tonight, don't forget that you can see Kurt. Pete will be there, too, apparently, along with Jackie Bakes of Stuart Peterson and Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities. They'll be at the Champaign County Farm Bureau building right here at 7 o'clock this evening. That's tonight right here in Champaign-Urbana at the Farm Bureau building, another one of our Ag Outlook panels. And then on Wednesday evening, you could come to the Extension building on the county fairgrounds in Logan County, Lincoln, Illinois, and catch up with Jackie Bakes and Pete Manhart and Chip Nellinger. They're all open and all free. They all start at 7 o'clock Wednesday at the Extension Building in Logan County at the Fairgrounds, or tonight at the Extension/County Farm Bureau Building in Champaign County. We hope to see you there. Now here's Dave with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, the PRC's central bank says that China will encourage the value of its yuan currency to be set by the market and step back from intervention in an orderly manner. People's Bank of China officials say that monetary policy moves would respond to liquidity concerns determined by the balance of payments, demand for yuan in markets, and international capital flows. PRC officials did not comment on speculation that China is ready to widen the yuan's trading band to create more flexibility. Analysts and traders in Beijing say some Chinese feed mills are keen to buy corn from the U.S. after prices of domestic corn surged. Domestic corn offered from the Corn Belt in China's northeast was cited at more than $400 per ton in some parts of the major consuming areas in the south, which compares with U.S. corn now quoted at $325 per ton. Enema interest is for 2 to 3 cargoes of U.S. old crop corn. India's government today issued a formal order rolling back the week-old ban on cotton exports, but stopped short of reinstating the blanket permission for exports, despite the promises made over the weekend. India's back and forth on the issue after the ban was imposed last Monday has left the market confused, as it is unclear if the latest move means a full resumption of shipments from India, the second biggest cotton exporter in the world. Russian analysts say Russia has exported 21.5 million metric tons of grain since the beginning of the current marketing year, July 1st. The Russian government has set the upper limit for grain exports in the current marketing year at 27 million tons. And Kiev-based consultancy ProAgro raised today its forecast for Ukraine's 2012 grain harvest to 45.66 million tons from a previous outlook of 42.64 million. The former Soviet Republic is likely to harvest 21.3 million tons of corn and 14.3 million tons of wheat this year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. You can always find us online at WILLAG.org. Well, up next, you know, the United States Department of Agriculture will release two very important reports at the end of this month. I'll have more on how the ag economists at the University of Illinois try to anticipate what the stocks figure will show. Grain stocks report is due out, along with the acreage numbers, March the 30th. The stocks report estimates how much grain is on hand in the United States. In this case, we're dealing with corn. Daryl Good says it's pretty simple to forward figure that number, but it doesn't always pan out in the report.
So you kind of look at consumption in three categories, ethanol, exports, and feed use. And we have weekly numbers on exports and ethanol production, so we can make reasonable estimates of how much corn was consumed in those two categories for the quarter. And then other processing uses of corn are pretty consistent from year to year, so that number is not going to vary much. So about 450 million bushels of corn exported December through February, 1.3 billion probably processed into ethanol, another 320 million bushels for other seed, food, and industrial uses. And so that leaves the feed and residual calculation.
And therein lies the problem in trying to figure usage. The amount of corn fed, says Illinois Good, isn't and has not ever been reported. So it fluctuates, sometimes a lot.
We've had some surprising stock numbers in the last 2 years and some very inconsistent patterns of feed and residual use quarter by quarter. So We kind of lost track of what's normal or how do we calculate expected feed use for the quarter. And so one way to start is to say, well, USDA for the year is projecting 4.6 billion bushels. Let's assume that's correct. And then let's look at a normal seasonal distribution of that 4.6 billion. And then typically you're pretty consistent first half of the year, second half of the year. And we already have an estimate for the first quarter. So if you say typically X percentage of feed use is in the first half of the year, we already know what first quarter was. We can make a guess of what second quarter was.
Sounds simple enough. Take the first quarter feed usage and then add enough second quarter usage to come up with a number that had been pretty consistently over the years, equaling 64%. Anyway, this year, Good says that calculation, added to the other usage figures, would put the March 1 grain stocks corn number at 6.5 billion bushels on hand. That would be normal. But recently, normal has moved, says Darrell Good.
Say the last 4 years, we've used 70% of total in the first half of the year. If we were doing that, you'd be at a 6.2 billion bushel number, if the 4.6 billion bushel projection is correct.
So the two important numbers are these as it relates to the corn stocks figures to be released by USDA March 30th, and they differ by 300 million bushels. If USDA's projected feed usage figure is correct, then stocks on hand under what was previously the normal could be 6.5 billion bushels. If that number were to follow the pattern of the last 4 years, it could be 6.2 billion bushels. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
We would like to thank these businesses for helping to make our 22nd annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting in Covington a great success. Risk Management Commodities, Farm Credit Services, and Steel Star Metal Roofing and Siding. We look forward to seeing you all again next year. Support for Stock and Commodity Reports on Illinois Public Media comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, now hosting risk management seminars. A complete list of seminars is at sfarmmarketing.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Jenny Springer from the Andersons on the phone line with us to take up the cash grain market this afternoon. Hi, Jenny. How are you?
Good afternoon, Todd. I'm good.
Well, a big move up in the corn market today. Do producers call and say, is it going to continue and not sell, or did they just decide to pull the trigger today?
We had some guys doing some selling of old crop. We didn't really have a whole lot of activity in new crop today. It's hard to explain. I guess guys are, you know, wanting to sell, but they're wanting to sell higher than where we're at. I still think that they're thinking that $7 mark, and with, you know, weather scare and, you know, weather issues and stuff going on kind of everywhere, I think they're waiting. You know, guys that didn't sell on the last couple rallies we had, now they're kind of just being a tight holder of it.
Is it prudent, do you think, to wait for $7?
I wouldn't, personally. I just think the thing I think is guys have to separate themselves from the coffee shop talk and actually look at what's profitable for themselves. They're selling old crop corn. They're selling an over basis if it's in, you know, DP, if they don't have it on a basis contract, and they're selling almost, you know, 660 corn today. So that's the trouble I have with it. Why are you going to wait for $7 when you're still making a really good profit here?
On your old crop, which contract are you trading off of?
We're off the May.
Off the May. Mm-hmm. So, and your bid for the day is what?
$6.68.
So mm-hmm. They've got 42 cents to make the $7. Or, I'm sorry, 32 cents to make $7 mark, right?
Right. And the recent high was 661 and a half on the May, and we touched it today, but we didn't trade through it. And I think looking at it from a technical standpoint, you know, that's going to present a kind of a resistance level. So, I mean, we've broken through some of the other resistance levels to the top side, but I still think it'll be tough to get over that.
And finally, your bids for the day?
Cash corn is 668, April corn 672, fall 2012 corn 543, cash beans 1320, April 1322, and fall 2012 1269, and July 2012 wheat 639.
Hey, thank you so much.
No problem.
Jenny Springer is with the Andersons, located right here in Champaign County. We'll say goodbye to some of our radio stations now. For the rest of you, stay with us. I'll be back in just 2 minutes. We'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy.
It's National Baked Scallops Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1841, Orlando Jones of Middlesex, England, received a U.S. patent for a process to make starch from rice or corn. Previously, rice would be steeped in water for several weeks to separate the starch by fermentation, though with limited yield. The patent described a process to extract starch from rice, which shortened the production time, increased the yield, and left byproducts in a condition suitable for further uses. In 1929, Asa Griggs Candler died. In 1887, Candler, a wholesale druggist, purchased the formula for Coca-Cola for $2,300. Candler then spent $50,000 a year on advertising, an unheard-of amount at the turn of the century. He eventually sold the company in 1919 for $25 million. In 1831, Clement Studebaker founded a firm that one time was the world's largest producer of horse-drawn vehicles, the Studebaker Brothers Manufacturing Company in South Bend, Indiana. The company motto, always give more than you promise. In 1930, Mahatma Gandhi began his march to the coastal village of Dandi to protest the British salt monopoly. And in 1993, Christian Kent Nelson died. He was the inventor of the Eskimo pie. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's a Monday afternoon. This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media on the U of I campus in Urbana-Champaign. On the phone line, high above the Chicago Loop is John Davis of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. Thanks so much for being with us, John.
My pleasure, Todd.
How's the view there today from the 23rd floor of the Boeing building?
Beautiful. The visibility is unlimited.
Oh, you got to like, can you see any planters going up there?
Can't, no.
No, I didn't think so.
Unfortunately, you can never see any planters going.
I didn't think you could. Okay, so tell me about the weather forecast across the planet and where the most important hot spots for you at this point might be.
Well, really from a U.S. standpoint here upcoming, the big news continues to be this unseasonably warm weather across virtually all sections of the central and eastern U.S. as well as central and eastern Canada shows no signs of abating as we go through the next couple of weeks. So March is going to come in as being one of the warmest Marches of all time and basically unprecedented temperatures that we're seeing and will continue to see as we go through the next couple of weeks. So the big news really is the warmth and the kind of temperatures that we're seeing, which are at record levels and will continue to be at record levels over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, if we get this kind of weather to continue for very long, there will be planters rolling across the Midwest and even across the upper parts of the Midwest. How long do we have to worry about frost, and does it differ from years where we have a really warm March and not?
We did a correlation that looked at unprecedented warm Marches, the record warm Marches, and there's really no correlation between warm Marches and whether, in fact, you get a freeze event during the month of April. So that doesn't tell you anything about the future as to whether you may, in fact, get some surges of cold coming in as we go through the month of April. So no correlation there. Obviously, with the kind of warmth that we're seeing right now, with all winter wheat coming out of dormancy, and again, a lot of corn is going to be planted across the southern U.S., that's something that we have to watch here during the month of April. Barring that, the warmth can only be deemed as an extremely beneficial situation for the U.S. ag belt.
Okay, and do you see rainfall across the Midwest at points in the near future?
At points, but certainly nothing terribly wet across the Midwest here upcoming. The wet spot is going to be the south central U.S., places like Oklahoma, Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana. That's where the wetness will pretty much be centered. The further you get away from that area, the drier it becomes.
Well, good for them. They need it, don't they?
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks so much, John.
You're welcome, Todd.
John Davis is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on this Monday afternoon. Thanks for being with us. We'll wrap it up for the day. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. We would like to thank these businesses for helping to make our 22nd annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting in Covington a great success. Bates Commodities, Anderson's Incorporated, AgriGold Hybrids, and Wisconsin Plastic Drain Tile. We look forward to seeing you all again next year.